getting it. I think I read some scriptures with you last week. So just let's read them again real quick. One of them was from Ephesians chapter 4, isn't it? Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28. What does that say? Somebody should read that for us very quickly. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28. Ephesians 4. Let him that stole steal no more, but stay at home and believe God. Is that what it says? Are you sure? Let him that stole steal no more, and let him do what? Let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Hallelujah. Amen. So you can see that even your ability to give actually depends on your work. You get it? And God's provision, he said, look, stop stealing people's things. Do you understand? Yeah, stop stealing people's things. And then the alternative to that, when you stop stealing, the next thing he wants you to do is to labor or to work, isn't it? So that you will have. So it means that in the eyes of God, the primary formula for having is working. Wow. Does it make sense? Yeah. That the primary way to have is to work. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. So you need to work. Amen? You need to have that mind that I cannot have if I do not work. Do you understand? And when you're praying to God for a job and so on, this must be your heart. This is because he said, let him stop stealing. What is stealing? You tell me, what is stealing? Stealing is taking something that you didn't work for. Are you getting it? So it's almost like the opposite of working to have is stealing. Do you see, there are two ways you can have something. You either work so you can have it, or you go and steal it. Can you steal it? Yeah, when you steal it, usually somebody else worked to create it, and then you go and take it without working. Do you get it? Right. So, I think you understand that verse, right?
Yeah.
Then the second verse we read last week was what? Second Thessalonians, right?
Yeah.
Chapter 3. So let's go. Second Thessalonians chapter 3. And we were reading from verse 5. Okay. And the Lord directs your hearts. Paul, read it. Yes.
Second Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5 says, and the Lord directs your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ.
Okay.
Brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly.
Every brother that walketh disorderly. That means every brother who is out of order. Yeah. Right? And then what?
And not after the tradition which he received of us.
Okay, the person is not following the culture we established.
Wow.
Isn't it? Okay. Now, what is the culture? Next verse.
For yourselves know how ye
ought to do what? How ye ought to do what? So there's nothing wrong with following a person.
Wow.
Isn't it? Paul said, you yourselves know how you ought to follow us. Isn't it? Sometimes when we talk about following our leaders or following our pastor or following our bishop, then people say we've made him into a god. But you see, right here, Paul is saying that you ought to follow us. Hey, he's not even mentioning God anywhere. He's just saying you ought to follow us. Right? And what is the next one? Yes.
But we behave not ourselves disorderly among you.
We did not behave ourselves disorderly among you.
Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught.
We did not eat any man's bread for nothing. Isn't it? Yeah.
But
we wrought with labor and travail night and day. Yes, that means we did night jobs, we did day jobs. Does it make sense? Yeah, sometimes we worked in the night, and other times we worked in the day. Do you get it? Yeah. And then what? So that we will not be chargeable to any of you. Uh-huh.
Not because we have not power.
Not because we have not power.
Yeah. But to make ourselves an example unto you to follow.
But to make ourselves an example for you to follow us, isn't it? Uh-huh. Verse 10.
For even when we were with you,
uh-huh.
This we commended you.
Uh-huh.
That if any would not work,
uh-huh. Wow. When we were with you, we told you. If anybody doesn't like to work, that he should not eat. Isn't it? So your eating is related to your working.
Wow.
Do you get it? And if you're poor at working, then you're going to be poor at eating.
Wow.
Does it make sense? Wow. Right? Then he said that, he said, and we did this as an example to you, isn't it? We tried to set an example to you that we were not eating people's bread for nothing. Do you see? We were not going from house to house at dinner time and we go on visitation. Do you get it? It's just about this time. This time you're even late. It's 8:30 now. You'll be late but you just show up right around 6, 7. El Pac, when is dinner ready in your house? About 6, 7. Yeah, so about 6, 7. Then we just pull up and just we're here on visitation, knowing that by all means, there will be something. You get it? Yeah, hallelujah. But you see, so Paul was just again showing us that there is a connection, do you see, between daily eating. Or your daily bread. It makes me even wonder, I don't know, but when Jesus said, pray every day, give us this day our daily bread.
Wow.
Do you get it? That did it have something to do with job stability? Did it have something to do with the work that you do? I don't know, it's just a thought, you know, so I don't know about that one. But I am just trying to show you that it is important. Amen. If you start to think correctly about your job, it's going to adjust your attitude towards your work in a very positive way. And through that, God will be able to prosper you through the work also that you do. Amen. We all believe in miracles. Do you understand? We all believe in miracles. Like last week, I was sharing with you how Jesus was invited to a wedding, isn't it? Now, the primary way for having wedding receptions is not inviting Jesus to come and turn water into wine. Do you get it? That's not how we have wedding receptions. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because the rest of the other parties you read about in the New Testament, you know, none of them involved inviting Jesus to make wine. Do you see? That's not how you go and buy it. You see? So what I'm trying to say is that there are days for miracles. And there are seasons where God will do something unusual. But I'm talking about the everyday miracle of provision for you. Is that God will bless something that you are doing with your hands. Do you remember that? Last week we were talking about how he told the people, even to experience the miracle of the wine, he had to tell them, you do what you can do, which is you put water into the pot. That's something you're going to have to do. You can't make wine, but you can fetch water. So my friend, get to the job. Start fetching the water. Start doing what you can do so that I can touch what you have done and turn it into what you cannot do. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And those people said they should fill the pots with water. The Bible says they, without being best age. No, if this thing is going to become wine, then we want more. If God is going to touch and bless this, then we want more. We want it to the brim. Yeah. So at the end of the day, they are drinking the thing and they are very happy. And the master of ceremonies, the MC in the place, is so happy. And he's asking the couple, but you guys, why did you do that? It's like you hid the better wine for later.
Wow.
Do you see? And he was very excited. He said, this thing is really, really good. The taste is super. And this is really powerful. Right. And now what he didn't know is that, yes, the quality of wine they're tasting is a miracle. That's Jesus. But the quantity of wine they are experiencing is them. Do you understand? It's because they filled it to the brim. Do you understand? So if they had half filled it, they would have had quality wine, but only half. If they had engaged themselves or acted lazily, you know, and done just like the bottom of it, you know, and just poured, even walking in doubt and just wondering whether this whole thing is worth it. If the wet wine is finished, let's close the wedding. You know, just a bad attitude. Do you get it? Why do we have to, if you knew you didn't have enough wine, why do you have to come and have a wedding? I mean, some people are too known. Why? Why do you have to have a wedding if you don't have? Why don't you cut your coat according to your size? I mean, if you know you can't afford to have a decent wedding, why don't you do something small? Why are you bringing us all here, forcing us to go through all these difficulties? Why? Why are you just after complaining?
Wow. What a message.
You see, and they would have just put some 2 liters of this thing just to fulfill all righteousness, because they say you should put the thing in and water inside the pot, so that just no one can say you didn't put water in it. See, which is what a lot of people do. Just do just the minimum that is required for it, that nobody can say that you didn't do the work. So then comes the power of God. It hits the little that you have done. And it creates a miracle, but it's so small that it almost feels like God never touched it at all. But he did. Do you see what I'm saying? These people filled it to the brim, I tell you. They said there was no more space. And when they finished, Jesus blessed that thing and he turned it into a... Now, when you look in the Bible, you will see that a lot of God's blessings have to do with God blessing the work of your hands. Do you understand? And even curses, you see, let me show you this one. Let's start from here. Deuteronomy chapter 14. Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 29. It says, and the Levite... Well, if you start reading from verse 28, Paul, read for us verse 28. Deuteronomy 14, 28.
Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 28.
Yes.
At the end of 3 years, thou shalt bring forth all the tithe of that increase the same year.
Okay.
And shall lay it up within thy gates.
Okay.
And the Levite, because he had no part nor inheritance with thee, and the stranger, and the fatherless, and the widow, which are within thy gates, shall come and shall eat and be satisfied, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all the work of thy hand, which thou doest.
Amen. Now, this one is talking about the tithe. Do you get it? He was telling the people that you need to bring the tithe. Bring it so that the Levite and the stranger and the widow and all those people will have something to eat. So that the Lord will bless the work of your hands. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, here we are. We are in church. Every Sunday, we call forth people to come forward, those of you who paid your tithe, and then you come forward. Then we pray over you. A blessing is supposed to come upon you. One of the blessings from tithing is that God will bless what you're doing.
Wow.
But then you go from here and switch on that attitude. That demons, I'm going to the demons. Can you imagine that? So you see, God is saying that, look, bring your tithe. Bring it so that there'll be meat in my house. And then I will bless, right here he's specifically saying, I will bless the work of your hand. You know, the work of your hand refers to your skills. you know, what you can do, what you are trained to do, that is the work of your hands. He said, I will bless the work of your hands. I will bless the job that you do. I will bless it. One of the pastors was telling me, you know, he's a doctor and he was working for another doctor. He was working in somebody's practice. And he was telling me that somehow when he started working in the place, one of the things his boss told him, the owner of the practice, told him that, I think you have blessed hands.
Wow.
Yeah, so would they do these surgical procedures and little things like that? And so the boss would have him do it.
Wow.
Because it looks like your hands are blessed. And it's like, since you joined the practice is working because it looks like you have brought a blessing. That's the kind of thing God would like to do.
Wow.
Do you understand? Yeah. That's the kind of thing God would like to do. That the work that you are doing, it you seem to bring a blessing with you to the job because you took your tithe. Do you understand? Otherwise, what will happen is that over the years, as you keep paying your tithe and keep, it starts to look like the word of God is not even true. But what it is that you pay your tithe and then you step out of here and go to work and kill it. Kill the blessing with your attitude towards work, your understanding of the work, your expectation of the work, and even the mind that the boss is a demon. Does it make sense, Dr. Lord? Yeah. So you see, that's one of the blessings. Look at the other one. The other one is in Deuteronomy chapter 28. Oh, well, before 28, 24. Chapter 24 and verse 19. Deuteronomy chapter 24 and verse 19. Paul, read.
When thou, Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 19. When thou cuttest down thy harvest in thy field.
When you cut down your harvest in your field.
And hast forgot a sheaf in the field.
And you forget a sheaf in the field.
Thou shalt not go again to fetch it.
Don't go again to fetch it.
It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow.
You must leave some allowance for
other people.
Others, right?
Mm-hmm. That the Lord thy God may bless thee in all the work of thine hands.
You see, so do you see again? Do you see you did something and God is going to bless you? And guess where the blessing is going to show up? In the work that you do. Do you get it?
Yeah.
It's interesting. Read on. You can read verse 20, the next verse with it.
When the beatest thine olive tree.
When you beat your olive tree,
thou shalt not go over the boughs again.
Don't go over the boughs again.
It shall be for the stranger.
Do you understand it? This verse is just saying that, look, when you are doing, like when you eat, leave some in the plate, something small. Do you get it? It's like, don't always try to scratch everything and try to get everything and every penny. You know what it means is that sometimes even when you buy something, just leave the change, give a tip, just do something. Now what he's saying is that when you do these things, a blessing will come upon you. But where is it going to show up? In the work of your hands. No, this is really powerful. You see, you are underestimating the work of your hands and its power to bless you on a regular basis. Because there is no other thing. You see, the water into wine situation just happens occasionally when someone has found a beloved like Aldrich and Amabel. You know, look, this type of thing happens once in a long while. Do you get it? We don't have an Aldridge Amabel situation every weekend. We don't have it on Monday. We don't have it on Tuesday. We don't have it on Wednesday. We don't have it on Thursday. We don't have that type of manifestation. It's a rare occurrence. But what happens every single day is that tomorrow you're going to get up, go to work, and Thursday, you're going to do it again. And Friday, you're going to do it again. Saturday, you're going to do it. Some do it even on Sunday, some Monday, Tuesday, every day. So in terms of daily miracles, do you get it? And daily provision, You have to begin to take your job seriously and start to see it as a source of great blessing to your life. Can you see what I'm saying? Now jump to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28. 28 verse 11. You know, let me switch off this thing so my thing stops closing. Right. Have you found Deuteronomy chapter 28?
Yes.
Okay. Read from verse 11.
It says, "And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods."
The Lord will make you what?
Plenteous in goods.
So your goods are going to multiply, right? Uh-huh.
"And the fruits of thy body."
And the fruit of your body, okay.
"And in the fruits of thy cattle."
And the fruit of your cattle.
"And in the fruits of thy ground."
And in the fruit of your ground.
"In the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee."
And the land which he swore unto thy fathers to give thee, yes.
12. It says, "The Lord shall open unto thee his..."
The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure.
"The heaven to give the rain unto thy land."
What verse is that? Verse 12. Right? "The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure." Yes.
It says, "The heaven to give the rain unto thy land."
The heaven to give the rain unto thy land in his season.
"And to bless all the work of thine hand."
And to bless all the work of thy hand.
"And thou shalt lend unto many nations."
Then you become a lender.
Wow.
And then what?
"And thou shalt not borrow."
And you stop borrowing. Did you see that? God will open unto you his good treasure. His good treasure will be open unto you. Then you start to experience certain manifestation. Number one is that the heavens will give rain unto your land. Do you understand? Yes, the heavens will give rain unto your land. And then he says, God will bless all the work of your hand.
Wow.
I don't know. So is that what he means by his good treasure then? God will bless all the work of your hands. And then you will become a lender, not a borrower. So your deliverance from debt actually is in the job that you are doing. Are you getting it? Yeah. God is going to prosper and bless the work of your hands. Now look at it. Look at the way it works in the reverse. Okay? When people are... well, why don't you finish? Finish what you are reading. Finish verse 13.
Verse 13.
Uh-huh.
"And the Lord shall make thee the head."
You see, the Lord shall make thee the head. Now promotion is coming.
Wow.
Now where else can you be the head? I mean, apart from the family. In my family, I'm already the head. This cannot be what he's talking about. Do you get it? Now, on the other hand, my wife cannot go and read this thing and say, come and say that the Lord said that he will make her the head. That's not going to happen. Do you understand? So that cannot be what he is referring to. Yeah? Neither is the Lord saying to Jason that he's going to bless him so much that he will make him our head. I don't think that the Bible is. How many agree with me that it's not likely that that's what the Bible is saying? Yeah. So then where else?
Wow.
Do you get, where else is there headship? Where else is there a head and where else is there a subordinate? Once there is a head, then there is a tail. There is a subordinate. There is somebody who is down there. Do you get it? So you see, we started reading from the place. It says, God will bless you. He will open unto you his good treasure and cause his rain to fall upon your land. Then suddenly you start to experience these manifestations. One of them is that his blessing will come upon the work that you do. Then you will be rich enough to lend. Then you will also stop borrowing. Then promotion will also now come to you. Does that make sense? Yeah. You see, if thou will hearken unto the commandments of the Lord, that is the condition that you will listen to what God says, right? Now, if you would jump with me to the other verse, go to verse 20 of Deuteronomy chapter 28. This is verse 15. Read verse 15 first. Verse 15.
But yeah. It shall come to pass.
It will come to pass.
If thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God.
If you will not hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God, yes.
Observe to do all his commandments and his statutes,
mm-hmm.
which I command this day.
Okay.
That all these curses shall come upon
thee. Okay. So a number of curses come because of disobedience, isn't it? So then verse 16, 17, 18, 19 is listing all those curses. Now jump to verse 20. One of the curses is what?
And the Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation and rebuke, in all that thou settest thy hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed and until thou perish quickly, because of thy wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me.
Okay, so you see that when God wants to curse somebody also, one of the attack points is his job. do you get it? What is he going to get on the job? Cursings. Vexation is what? Huh? Check the dictionary. Tell us what is vexation. Don't jump over a big word in the Bible at all. God intended for you to understand. So those who have the dictionary, just check. Confusion or what?
Uproar.
Or uproar.
Destruction. It says the state of being annoyed.
That's the one I wanted.
Or worried.
Okay. Frustration. That's what it means. The state of being constantly annoyed. And worried. Do you see? Yeah. So when people are not obeying God, when people are in disobedience, one of the ways that God tries to get to them, because I know what to do, and it is again in your daily routine, that let me touch what you do. Suddenly, you are annoyed all the time. You're frustrated by your work. You know, the ideas are not flowing like they should flow. You are not, you know, doing what you're supposed to do, or that the bosses are facing you, all these kinds of things. This is what he will send before you, rebuke. And cursings. I think what I'm sharing with you is really powerful. I'm blessed by it myself. Hallelujah. Until thou be destroyed and thou perish quickly. So can you imagine that just when your job alone frustrates you, you can be destroyed by that? You see, and the reason why your job has the power to cause your destruction is because it's a daily thing. Do you get it? It's something you do every day. That's why it has the power to cause your destruction. Can I have an amen? Does it make sense? I see you being prospered and blessed through your job in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Right. So then, if that is the case, then having favor with your boss, which is what we've been talking about, becomes very important. Are you getting what I'm saying? And the things you have to do to retain the favor of your boss are worth learning. Amen. Now, number one, we said you must see him as one who is placed there by God. Hallelujah. See him as one who is placed there by God. And we read Romans chapter 13 and verse 1. It says, there is no authority except from God. It says, let every soul be subject to the higher powers. Right? For there is no... Read the whole thing.
Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers.
That's right.
For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God.
Amen. Amen. The power, there is no power but of God. And the powers that be are ordained by God. Amen. You have to believe it. You have to believe that your unbeliever boss is placed over you by God. That must be easy to believe. If you think of even how you got into the job, if that job is your testimony, if you say that God gave you that job, how did God give you that job and not give you that boss? Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. If God gave you that job, God placed you in that place. It's like you fit in a place. Then whatever is over you and whatever is under you is also determined by God. Are you getting it? Yeah. So that should make us change our attitudes towards the boss and not see him as some demon-possessed person, you know, who just comes, you know, just to come and frustrate you. He's just set over you by the devil. Lord, kill him. You know, these type of prayers. You see, if your boss dies, you might not have a job.
It's true.
Do you see? Yeah. Recently, somebody told me. He told me, you know, he's relocating. And he told me, look, I went to work last. I don't have anything to do here. So I'm relocating. And I asked him why. He said, I went to work last Saturday, and I was with my boss. Just we finished working, and then we closed and left. I was told that later in the day, he had a heart attack. He's dead.
Wow.
So the job is finished. Yeah. Because his job and his entire living is connected to this one man.
Wow.
And you have to believe it. There are individuals whose existence creates a job for you.
Yeah.
And without that person's existence, your job is finished. So this person told me that his boss had just died. He said they went to work, and then he went home after work. They said the next day he heard that the boss is dead. So when I was talking to him, I think it was like a Wednesday or so, and he said he had just come the day before, which was the Tuesday, from his funeral. How can it be you went to work and you closed? Then a few days after, you are the boss's funeral, and what it means is that the day after, there is no work. Isn't it? Yeah. Sometimes the person who likes you, you see, for which reason, I don't know where Ine is and what's going on. Oh, Amabel is leaving. I see, okay. But she was telling me, Ine, she was telling me that because she I think she was working in some temporary situation and the job had come to an end. And then the boss called her and told her that, look, that your thing has come to an end now. So I want to hire you. I want to make a place for you here. Or I want to extend it. I think that's what he said. I want to extend it. Then he said, so let the agency people, let it finish. And then we will start with you. I want you here. Do you get it? This is the individual. Now, if this person who is saying, I want you to be here, he said they hired a permanent person, actually. They hired, because she went to fill in for someone. And so the period was finished, right? Then they hired, it's like, do this job while we look for someone to do it, right? Then they hired someone, and the person started. So based on that, her time there was supposed to be finished, right? And then the boss said, you know something, we've hired somebody, but actually I don't like that person, I like you.
Wow.
Yeah, I prefer you. So you see that your whole existence there is this one man, you see, to whom God has given you favor. God has given you favor with this one person. It's not so much your skills, because look, most of what we can do, a lot of other people can do it. The fact that you go to school and you have classmates is a message to you that you are not the only person who learned what you can do. You must always remember that when you were being taught your skills, you were not the only person in the class. You get it? So there are so many other people who can do it. So then the rest of it is down to the testimony of an individual. One person feels a certain way about you, you're in. That person feels a different way about you, you're out. Are you getting the picture? Yeah. So it's important for us to pray for them. Amen. Pray for him and adjust and correct your attitude towards him, because a lot of your life actually depends on him. What do you think? Right? So see him as planted or placed over you by God. Say amen. Amen. Number two, recognize and relate to him as you would relate with God himself. Do you have that? Yes. Yeah, we read Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 7. It says, with, amen. Yes, masters, read from verse 6.
Verse 7, verse 5.
5, okay.
Servants, be obedient to them that are
servants.
Your masters.
A servant is anybody who works for someone, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay,
According to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness hearts as unto Christ,
mm-hmm.
not with eye service,
mm-hmm.
as men pleasers,
mm-hmm.
but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart.
As servants of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Yes.
With good will, doing service.
With good will, doing service.
As to the Lord.
As to the Lord.
And not to men.
And not to men. Amen. And God is giving us the ultimate motivator for work. You see, because I guess God understands that sometimes work can be frustrating. So God has given us something. It's like a donkey. How people keep a donkey working all day is to hang a carrot in front of him. Something that the donkey, as long as he keeps looking at it, gives him motivation to press on. Do you get it? He will climb over every rock. He will climb over every hill. He will climb over every obstacle and just keep going and keep going, because what is in front of him motivates him so much. So God is trying to give us the ultimate motivator for doing something that your life depends so much on. Do you get it? So that even during the frustrating seasons of your job, during the frustrating days of your job, during the frustrating times of what you do, then the person to look at is not this boss who is frustrating you, or your colleagues at work who are frustrating and upsetting you, all those guys bad-mouthing you and so on. It's not them, but to think that you are actually even doing this service for God. Amen. And if you think that you're doing it for God, you will keep going. Yeah, you will keep going. If you know that you're working for God, you will keep going and keep going and keep going. Can I have an amen? Number three, be humble towards your boss. Be humble towards your boss. Be humble towards your boss. Amen. Humility is the only way to promotion. Amen. In God's house. And it's the same thing even in secular jobs. Hallelujah. Now, Matthew chapter 20 and verse 27, Brother Paul. Matthew 20 and verse 27. What does it say?
Matthew chapter 20, verse 27, it says, mm-hmm. And whosoever will be chief among you.
Whosoever will be chief among you.
Let him be your servant.
Let him be your servant. Hallelujah. You want to be chief? Be a servant. Unfortunately, if there is a place where people don't mind doing that, it is often in the church setting. But in the work, secular work setting, people are always trying not to be another person's servant. Because we see it as being cheated. Do you understand? You don't want to be the one that everybody dumps their work on. You don't want to be the one who is always doing the things, who's always doing the menial jobs, who's always, and we're always fighting and trying to see who else is doing what. Do Do you get it? Who else? Okay, they asked me to do this, that, and that. But what about this person also? What are they going to do? You see, but you don't understand that the principle that Christ gave us is that whoever wants to be chief among you, if you want to be chief in this group, do you see, to be chief in this group, you have to be the servant of all. He's showing us something about being chief. Do you understand what it takes to be chief? Amen. Yeah, this chief here is not African chief in a palanquin. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. But he's saying that, look, whoever wants to be chief, if you want to be chief, you must learn to be the servant of all. And usually what is the criteria for promotion in many places? It is you find the one who knows something about everything. The way to know something about everything is to do everything when you have the chance to do it. Is it not the case? Yeah. You can't be a supervisor of people whose jobs you don't know. You can't direct people whose jobs you don't know. So they find the person, you know, who seems to have an interest or who seems to have a mind that can be wrapped around everything that goes on in that place. And they choose that person, usually. And they say, oh, this is the person who's been here. This is the person who's accompanied with us, who's gone back and forth with us. You know, I think he can do the job. And then they promote the people. That is how it happens. Amen. But for you to do everything, you have to be humble. You have to be humble. Usually, the humility at the workplace is something you cannot afford unless you drop the mentality of robbery. Do you get it? You have to drop the mind that you're being cheated. Hallelujah. I think we have a verse in Philippians that talks about Jesus Christ not thinking it robbery to be equal with God, but making himself of no reputation. You see, even though he was God, he left his place in heaven and he came to make himself of no reputation. You take me as I'm nothing. You see, and then with that, the next word is that he humbled himself. Do you see? So the process of humility involves dropping the reputation you think you have, making yourself big or thinking you are somebody. Do you see? And making yourself a nobody, just a nobody, and bringing yourself down to earth. When others think they are taking advantage of you, they will be surprised that God is using that to make you into chief. Do you get it? Because you are operating a scripture. They think they are taking advantage of you. They are making a fool of you. But they don't know you are writing on scriptures. Do you understand? And the word of God is true. The word of God is true. So always pick up what people don't want to do. Pick it up. You do it. You know, the boss cares about it. Do it. If it's important, you do it. Don't think about everybody's gone home. Nobody is doing it. Well, I'm also out of here. Some people have a mind that I don't own this place. Sometimes when they are talking, they say, well, when they get their millions, they don't share it with me. Meanwhile, it's not true. They share it with you. Where do you think you get that salary from? It's a wrong mind to have. When they get their millions, they don't share it with me. So it's up to them. The office tap is leaking. Instead of you doing something about it, you say, oh, these people, they have money and they don't give us some. Let the tap run. Do you get it? Let the tap run. Let them pay. They should pick. They won't give it to us. They should go and give it to the water company. You know, yeah. Every chance you get to let the business down, you let them suffer loss because you are in a perpetual state of retaliation for the small paycheck that they give to you. But you don't know that you are operating on kingdom principles, God sets you there. And if you go with his plan and his principles, he will lift you up. Amen. He will make you chief in that place through humility. Say amen. Amen. Right. Next one is number four. Learn all you can about your job. Learn all you can about your job. Right? Now, Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 5. Brother Paul, Proverbs 1 and verse 5.
Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 5. It says, a wise man will hear and will increase in learning.
A wise man will hear and will increase what?
In learning.
He will increase learning. Amen. And a man of
understanding shall attain unto wise counsels.
A man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. Hallelujah. So it is wisdom to increase learning. Continued education on the job is wisdom. Amen. Learn everything you can about the job. It's good to have somebody who knows a lot about many things. Such people are very difficult to fire. Do you get it? Because they are like a lamp that is hanging by several strings. Do you get it? They are not just hanging by one chain. So that if they fail in that one area, there are so many other things that are keeping them. So a person may be hired for something. He may be hired for something in particular. You get it? There's the main chain, but there are other chains that are also hooking him to the place. So even when that first one is severed, there's still so much reason to keep him in the place. And that's when you see them shifting people around and moving people to do other things that they were not hired originally to do. Do you get it? So it comes from broadening your mind and learning as much as you can. That's why I'm saying that to have the mind or the mentality that you must not be cheated. It's a down-letting mentality. It will let you down. If you're from day one, you are fighting to do just enough and to do what you're hired to do, and you think that others are making a fool of you, and you are determined to be sure that you will not allow them to make a fool of you, because these are the people that are used by the devil to make you get to church late. You get it? These are the demons, these demonic people, the reason why you are not able to get to church. You get it? Yeah. You see, but sometimes as people are slacking, it is your opportunity. As people are running away from jobs, it is your chance. You need them to run away from the job for you to know or show what you can do. You really need that. Do you know that everybody was running away from Goliath? And that gave David a chance to fight him. Do you get it? Everybody, Goliath was walking around there all day. They were just standing there. Everybody says, not my job. Someone says, not my job. Someone says, as for me, my job is to do work in the canteen of the military. That's it. Another one said, for me, I'm the chaplain. Whoever decides to fight him, I'll pray for him. That's my job. My job is to pray. I was hired to pray for the one who decides to fight him. I was never hired to fight this guy. Different things. One person said that for me, look, I'm working the accounts. I'm the accounts office. I don't do this Goliath thing. Yeah, you get it? I'm not in active combat. No. Then another person said, no, for me, I'm a reserve. Look, I even someone said, I've resigned. I'm no more a soldier. I wrote my resignation last Friday. That's before Goliath came on Sunday. So please just walking around. So as people run away from jobs, they just pave the way for you to step in. Remember, God said, I'm going to bless the work of your hands. So as you are stepping into that place, there is a blessing on you. You are about to excel in the thing that everybody has run away from. You are about to make a case for your importance in that place. And that's exactly what David, what did David have? 5 smooth stones and a sling. That's what David had, which wasn't much. The other people around had much more, but they had run away. Do you see? And he, with his little stone, came, but then he told Goliath, he said, look, I am coming to you. You see me with stones, but I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord. Look, I'm going to chop your head off and I'll feed it to the birds. You watch. Yeah. And he was right. Because as everybody had run away from the job, God had made great opportunity for him. So see those things as an opportunity. It's a door for you. If no one will do it, do it. If the jobs that no one wants to do, that is where you must specialize. Specialize in the things that everybody is running away from. Yeah. When everybody is running out of the office, let you be the last person. So I'll close up. I'll be here and I'll finish it. And you'll be made, because God is going to bless that opportunity. God is looking for the work of your hands. The problem is often that our hands are not doing much. Our hands, God wants to bless a hand that is working, but he finds hands that are not working. So even when the blessing is applied to it, it doesn't come to anything. Because if God blesses nothing, you just get a lot of nothing. Because everything God blesses multiplies. So if you multiply 0, you get what? Zero. Plenty. No matter what you multiply by 0, you just get 0. So even the greatest power of God multiplied by 0, you just get a lot of zeros and you get nothing. Are you getting what I'm sharing with you tonight? Let's see if we can read one more point before we close. Amen. Next point is listen to instructions carefully. Listen to instructions carefully. Recognize that the person in authority over you knows something that you don't. That is why he is in that position. You get it? So the mentality, see, sometimes you can even find yourself working under someone who is younger than you. You see, that right there can set you up with an attitude. And you start to say, these small boys, when they come around, do you see? These small boys who just came, when they get up, they are just throwing their weight around. You see? And again, it's just pride. You know, it's pride originating from your age. You know, because your age is one of the causes of pride. One of the causes of pride is how old you are. Do you see? So you may just be proud because you're older and they've put you under someone who's younger. But you must be careful to listen to instructions carefully and to recognize that the person who is giving you the instruction knows something that you don't know. That's what has created that situation. That is how come you're working under them. If you believe something else, and often we believe something else, we believe that, look, you, if it wasn't for something, I would have been where you are. You see, that's your mind. Your mind is you, if it wasn't for something. Well, now let that something be. Do you see? Let that something be. But it is also because of something. You see, it is because of something that the person is over you. So even though he may be younger, even though he may be smaller, even though it may be a woman, because sometimes men also react negatively to a female boss. Do you understand? And it's okay to have a female boss. It's not a marriage. Do you get it? It's not a marriage. It's a job. It's a job. It's a job. It's about skills. It's about delivery. It's about working. And if you have come across a female who is more dedicated and who is working harder than you, you better accept it humbly that you have met someone who knows better. Think that you have met someone who knows better, not a woman or a man, as the case may be. Hallelujah. But don't react negatively to a female boss if you have one. Can I have an amen? Right? So listen to instructions carefully. When you're being given a job to do, make sure you listen to it carefully. Amen? Listen to it carefully so you don't do something else. Hallelujah. And I believe God is going to bless you. I think it's a good place to close. And we can continue next time. Is it helpful? Are you sure? So are you going to fix your attitudes at work? You see, if God wants to bless you, but if we don't have the right attitude, it's not going to happen. Do you get it? No matter how many times we pay our tithe and so on, rather than a blessing on the work of our hands, we're going to have a frustration, a rebuke, vexation, annoyance, and frustration. That's what we'll have on the job. Do you get it? But God intends to bless us, and I believe He will by His grace. Amen. Stand to your feet and let us pray. Thank you, Lord. Just bow your heads, everybody, and let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for tonight, and we thank you for what we have learned. We pray that we will be doers of the word and not hearers only. For we see that you seek to bless us through the work of our hands. So, Lord, we pray that you will open our eyes to the realities of the things that are stealing the blessings from us. The devourer, O God, in the name of Jesus. And help us, Lord, to do our jobs with the right attitude, to work diligently, to produce results in the name of Jesus. Give us dedication in the name of Jesus. Make us like those guys who filled the pots to the brim. May we always fill the pots to the brim. May we always do our very best, do what we can really do. We pray that you deliver us from shoddy work. Deliver us from shabbiness, O God. Deliver us from laziness and slowness in the name of Jesus. And we pray that you give us the speed that produces efficiency and makes us effective at what we do. We thank you, O God, for paving the way for your blessings to come upon us in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Hallelujah.